Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
We need to end the gridlock and to stop passing the buck to future generations.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
We, the individual voters, have to do something different. We have to hold those we elected accountable.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, Bill Rock, thank you very much for that Friday intro. Yes, indeed, John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg this morning at the desk working. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Absolutely, John. Good morning. I have a budget presentation this morning, so we're doing this via phone from City Hall, but I can look out the window and almost see your building.
Exactly. We are neighbors here in the downtown neck of the woods. You've got your budget at noontime today. Before we get into some of that, and I've got lots of other things to talk about, we do have an abbreviated program visit today because you got to get back to that PowerPoint presentation for later on. Football. You got a favorite? No Super Bowl?
I will watch the game, but
even the president, Mr. Mayor, came out on took a side.
Listen, they're two good teams. I would like to see a high scoring game, both sides back, lead changing back and forth. Those are the exciting games
with long passes.
Yeah, I mean that's it's a sport, and I love watching. I don't have an axe to grind as to which team. I would love to see one of the two New York teams. Although I guess we got to say Buffalo's a New York team, and the Jets and the Giants are quasi New York teams. But if those teams aren't in it, then I don't really care. The Steelers have been, one of these old line teams that have been there as long as the NFL. And Arizona's new bright young face. It's always fun.
All right, very good. Let's. I know you don't want to get into too many specifics on this budget thing, but you and I have been talking about this literally for years, and over the last 6 months we've talked about a lot of the things here. The rubber's meeting the road today, isn't it?
The rubber's meeting the road in the country and around the world. The bottom line is if you drive down a street in New York, you will see more empty stores and restaurants than you've seen before. That's telling you what's happening to our economy. And New York is probably doing somewhat better than a big part of the rest of the country. We do have a big exposure to Wall Street, but New York real estate does a little bit better than the rest of the country because we don't have the speculation generally that lots of other places have. We didn't have the overbuilding, the second homes, the homes built on spec. Our people who build homes here tend to live in them, and that makes the real estate market much more stable. But all governments are facing up to the fact that tax revenues are declining because the economy is slowing down. People are getting hurt. I think that's the first thing you got to recognize what's going on here. Some people are losing their jobs, not everybody. Some people are losing their homes, not everybody. But everybody is worried, and they have a right to be. And we've got to make sure that we invest and don't walk away from our future. But at the same time, there's a fundamental difference in our society compared to a year or two ago. Today, a lot of things that we took for granted then, we're not going to do now. We're just not going to be as expansive for a long period of time. And it shows up in our ability to provide services and everything else.
All right. Last Sunday, the Senator Schumer, Congressman Rangel, and yourself announced some money coming out of Washington, $3.4 billion over the next 2 years. How does that money factor into your budget address today?
Well, there's two kinds of federal money, that one we're sure of and one we're reasonably sure of. One comes directly to both the state and the city, but we get it direct from the federal government rather than going through the state for our part. It is to help pay for Medicaid. Medicaid is this expense that keeps growing. The city's bill for Medicaid is roughly $5 billion a year out of our $35 billion budget for taxpayer-financed expenses. And this will will take over $1 billion out of the $5 billion for each of the next, this year coming up and the year after. That's great. Less expenses means we can take monies and move them elsewhere, or we don't have to raise taxes by that. The other kind of federal money that we have a good indication that we'll get is education aid, but that's different. That doesn't come directly to us. That goes through the state. And if you remember in the governor's budget, his proposed budget, he was cutting education, $770 million of state aid to New York City, if they use the federal monies that they get to make that up, that's great. If not, it would put a hole in our budget for education that we estimate is roughly the equivalent of something like 14,000 teachers. Now, I assume, I hope, I'll work as hard as I can to make sure that the state uses the federal money to give us the monies they would have otherwise cut. And then they don't, it doesn't hurt their budget, and it won't hurt our budget. If they were to take the federal monies and give them elsewhere around the state, it would be a disaster for our educational system, and there's nothing more important than our education system.
What's the indication from the governor and the other two, Malcolm Smith and Shelley Silver?
A long time before, you know, the first answer would be, well, we don't know what we're getting yet.
How did you put your budget together then?
We do not assume that we get that federal money. Remember, the education money doesn't go that we're talking about doesn't go through our budget, because education, unlike almost every other service, is paid for roughly half by the city, half by the state. Actually, we pay more, and our commitment to education has been growing while the state commitment to education has been declining. But it doesn't go through the budget balancing part of the budget. What it means is that it cuts education aid, but we're not cutting the amount of aid that the city puts into education. In 2010, we're going to put in the same amount. I think it was within 0.1% of what we put in 2009. We are not cutting our education budget. Our problem with education is the state's half. They want to cut by $770 million. And we say, okay, I understand you've got a budget problem, but here, the federal government's going to give you some money. Give us the $770 out of the federal money, and then you can still balance your budget. And when the governor said he was going to cut $770 million, he didn't know he was going to get any federal money. So it's newfound money. Give it to us. We'll be able to keep our great teachers and keep improving education and improving test scores and graduation rates and all that. And it won't hurt the state at all. So I hope that's the way it comes out. But they've got to face the fact that if they cut $770 million out of state aid to education after all of the promises, after the contract for fiscal equity and all of these different programs and all of the posturing of we care about education, they got to come up with the money. We care about education and we're not cutting. They say they care about education, and at least the governor's preliminary budget cuts education.
What about on the capital side? Schools and otherwise.
Capital side this year, we're continuing with our $10.4 billion of investment. What we're going to do in the capital budget is spread out the monies for next year, because our debt service is one of those non-controllable expenses that, in fact, we can control. And while we do need to build schools and water tunnels and everything else, we just, given the realities, can't build them as fast as we would like, but we're not going to walk away from the projects. We'll just do them somewhat slower.
All right. Do you think that there is money that we hear in the stimulus package of infrastructure stuff?
I hope so, John, but we can't count on it. So I have no other assumptions about federal aid in our budget. We assume we'll get the $1 billion. And we hope we'll get the $770 in education, although the $770 isn't built into the budget in the context that if you take revenues less expenses, that's your deficit. That doesn't count because it's on the side. It's the half of education that the state picks up.
Is the budget announcement at noontime, is this going to be sort of the worst-case scenario?
Nobody knows. I think what we've said all along is that the economy was slowing down. I've been more pessimistic than the official forecasters we use, but we don't put out our projections based on my personal view of what's going to happen. I can tell you what it is, but I don't think we should do that. We use two or three professional outside nationally recognized firms that project, and they are projecting a continued decline in the economy, which will mean a continued decline in our tax revenues. And their estimates are what we estimate going forward in our on the revenue side of our budget, and therefore what we're going to have to face in terms of expenses, being able to how we're going to come up with money for our expenses. If things get worse, then all bets are off. If labor doesn't come through with some of the things we need from them, all bets are off. But what you got to take a look at is our budget, the city budget, is made up of a few things we can't control, and then labor. It's pensions, health care, salaries. That is a good 80-plus percent of our budget. I think this, out of the 40-odd billion dollars of tax, city taxpayers' monies, there's really only about 7 that is not either mandated or personnel services. The government is providing services with people. It doesn't do very many other things. And so if you have less money, it means less employees. And I called a few of the labor leaders yesterday, and I've had my staff trying to call as many as we can and say, look, my commitment is first and foremost to the public in maintaining services and balancing the budget. My second commitment is to try to protect those people who currently work for the city. And so we've tried to avoid layoffs as much as we possibly can, downsize through attrition, which is obviously voluntary. I'm going to need some help to do that from labor. We just simply can't afford the kind of pension system that we have going forward. It just doesn't work. It's what bankrupted Detroit. It's what bankrupted the airlines industry. And it's the costs of our pension system and health system in the next 8 years goes up something like $10 billion annually. And we've got to do something about it. And the ways you do something about it is you have a new tier for new employees. Now, keep in mind, we're not hiring anybody at the moment, so it won't provide savings right now or very much savings. But down the road, it will. And, labor says, oh, no, we don't want to do this. Well, the alternative of not doing that, of reducing the benefits for future employees, is having fewer current employees. And that's not good for our employees or for the city. So this is a budget that I think really holds together. But everybody's got to understand, we live in a different world than we lived in a year or 2 years ago. And everybody is going to have to share in working together. Is it pain? I would describe it more as hard work. We're going to have to find ways to do more with less. And when I say we can protect, we're not going to have to lay off any uniform services, that's true, but it assumes that they work harder.
Mr. Mayor.
Like everybody else in the private sector.
Absolutely so. In regards to the thing that you just talked about, that we are in a different world than we were a year or two ago, it was yesterday that I watched your press conference. This year is the 400th anniversary of the Dutch founding of what is now the city of New York. And it struck me as I watched you and some others talk about this, what a place we have built here over those 400 years, and how much change and sea change has taken place, and the development of the new world that started literally right here.
It's quite amazing. One of the things that I learned, which you'll be fascinated to know, the Holland Tunnel was not named after Holland.
No, it's a Mr. Holland, isn't it?
It's the engineer that built it.
Exactly so. All right. Mr. Mayor, I know you got a lot of work in front of you on the desk right there. We'll be listening at noontime. Thank you for a couple of minutes this morning. We'll talk with you next Friday.
John, all the best. Looking forward to next Friday.
Thank you very much. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, right here.